The following message is brought to you by the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. A new message airs each Sunday morning right here on WGNS from 10:45 to 11 a.m. We would like to invite you to worship with us at any or all of our services. You'd be our honored guest. We meet on Sundays at 9 and 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., as well as Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 1167 South Lowry Street, that's Murfreesboro Road, in Smyrna, Tennessee. Please visit our website at defendthegospel.com. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.
I often find myself editing something. Sometimes I have to edit a sermon after I've written it. I write a lot of articles. I have to edit those. I put together a bulletin every week, and I have to edit that. You know, one edits a work in order to remove the bad things. Sometimes we're removing grammar. Maybe it's a misspelled word that needs to be edited out. Sometimes there are poorly constructed sentences. But I want to think with us for a few moments this morning about spiritual self-editing. Did you ever think about the fact that as Christians, as children of God, we are constantly to be editing ourselves in order to get out the bad and replace it with the good? The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified." Now, I understand that there are times, as a matter of fact, I need to probably do it more often, maybe you need too, to look deep into myself, to really examine my life, and to edit out those things that are against the will of God. And I believe that if we really looked at ourselves, and many Christians really looked at themselves, they'd find some things they need to cut out. I want to think this morning with you very quickly about three things that I believe many Christians need to edit out of their life. Number one, I think some Christians need to edit out some of their language. Now, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, the Apostle Paul wrote this, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these." Put them off. Edit them out. "Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." Now think about that. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. You know, so often we speak things in anger. We speak things against the character of a friend or a brother or the character of even a family member. We run their name through the mud. We disparage them. We need to edit that out. We need to replace that with good thoughts, with good things. We need to have something good to say about other people, especially our brethren. We're supposed to be building them up, not tearing them down. We need to control our anger and not let that be displayed in language that's not fitting for a child of God. Now, Strong's defines the word here in the Greek, the word for blasphemy. It's very interesting what he says. He says, "Blasphemy is vilification, especially against God. Evil speaking, railing." Now, in our society, I'm very distraught in the way God's name has been dragged through the mire and the muck. People have taken God's name from heaven and brought it down to the lowest places of earth and used it casually and just stomp all over it. Using God's name in a casual way. You know, I sometimes tremble when I'm out in public and I hear somebody take God's name in vain. Well, you and I both know what those two words is. And people say them a lot. And we tremble when we hear them. And it upsets us. And we wish people wouldn't say them. In fact, we've trained ourselves not to even think those two words that takes God's name in vain. Matter of fact, God has always loathed the idea of somebody using His name lightly. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, He told His children Israel, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God in vain." Well, today, Christians may not say those two words. They may avoid them like the plague, but they don't realize that they are using His name in vain. For example, when you go on to social sites like Facebook, you may often see the letters OMG. You know what those letters stand for? Well, they stand for the name of God. People casually throwing about God's name, reducing it to letters and just throwing it here and throwing it there. Now, my friends, we need to be more careful with the name of God. We need to hold it up in reverence and respect. If we're using OMG, well, we need to edit that out. Not use it anymore. Well, here in verse 8, also in Colossians 3, we find the phrase filthy language. Now, the Greek for that word is defined as vile conversation, filthy communication. Now, there are many ways that we can communicate in a filthy way. For example, we may tell a dirty joke. That's filthy communication. We may do what is commonly called cussing from where I'm from. Well, that's filthy communication. And then there's language that may not necessarily use a bad word, but the phraseology has sexual innuendo. Well, that's filthy communication. There's all types of ways to communicate in a filthy way. And I think we need to investigate our lives, investigate our own language, and cut all that out. And by the way, don't let others use your ear as a garbage can. Don't listen to other people's gossip. Don't listen to and snicker at your co-worker's filthy joke at the water cooler. Don't giggle when somebody else uses foul language. That's filthy communication. Put it out of your mouth. Edit that out of your life. Number two, I think maybe some people not only need to edit their language, but they ought to edit their leisure. Now, leisure, what is that? Well, leisure is freedom from the demands of work or duty. You're taking a break. Going on vacation. Now, we all need a break from time to time. We need to relax and to recuperate and to recharge. The problem is with how some choose to spend their leisure time. Well, there are some people who go to movies. Movies that contain vile things such as filthy language, fornication, and the glorification and normalization of homosexuality and the list goes on. Now, listen, it makes no sense to me. Maybe somebody can explain this to me sometime. But, brethren, it just makes no sense to me how somebody could go Saturday night and sit through 2 hours of some of the most filthy and vile forms of entertainment known to man down at the movie theater and then show up for church on Sunday morning all high and holy. I just don't understand that. It doesn't make sense to me. It seems like a contradiction. You know, we need to be very careful with the way we entertain ourselves. Some people listen to music that's filled with vileness and hatred and anger, filled with filthy language. Some people play games. Now, I've learned, I never have really been a big video game player, not even in my youth. They were available, not to the extent they are today, but they were available. I never really got into them. I played some of them. Yes, of course, we all did. But today, people are just, it seems like they're addicted to video games. They spend too much time with them. But I've learned this, these video games actually have ratings on them in the same way movies have ratings on them. Some of them are rated G for family. Some of them are rated PG, PG-13, and there are some who are that are rated R. And I've learned that these video games actually portray and glorify violence. They have homosexuality in them. They have women who are very immodestly dressed. The same thing goes with men. These video games, I've learned, are very vile. And I think some Christians need to edit them out of their lives. The psalmist said in Psalm 101, verse 3, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. What a wonderful verse. I had a fine older Christian lady tell me years ago, she said, my husband and I took that passage of Scripture and wrote it out on an index card and taped it to the television set. Now, I love that. They taped it to the television set. You know, you've got this remote control and it has all these buttons. I don't understand what half the buttons do on my remote control. But I'm going to tell you, there's a button on that remote control that all of us can understand. And it's one that all of us need to use more often. And that's the off button. And we need to be like the psalmist who said, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Edit that out. There are some people who spend their off time going to the beaches that are filled with the immodestly dressed. Sometimes even joining in with the immodesty. Brother, we need to edit that out. Whatever happened to the concept of modesty? used to. The concept of serving Christ and modesty just went hand in hand. People didn't question that. It would be shocking if someone who claimed to be a Christian walked out onto the beach in some of the clothing they're walking out there today. Now it's just expected. Now Christians are considered strange, not by those in the world, but by other Christians, because they won't wear their bikini or their one-piece bathing suit out on the beach for all to see. That frightens me. Listen, there are many ways to entertain ourselves. There are many godly ways to spend our leisure time without having to resort to the base things of a sinful world. Do not be conformed to the world, Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Number 3, I believe we need to do some self-editing with our language. I believe we need to do some self-editing with our leisure. And I believe some need to do some self-editing with their loyalty. Now there are some who are trying to serve the Lord with an unhealthy or divided eye. Matthew 6, verse 22 and 23. Their eye is bad when they think it's good. They've got a distorted view of things. That verse was spoken right in the midst of talking about money and the love of money and seeking to lay up treasures on this earth. And so the unhealthy eye, that's the one who has actually placed a higher value upon material things. Things that are temporary, they treat them as if they're more valuable than the eternal things. Oh, how dark is that light, if that's their light. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, verse 24, and yet so many are trying to do that. Now, we must be willing to sacrifice anything and everything for the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some people who let their work get in the way of serving the Lord. Don't make riches your goal in working. The Proverbs writer says that. We work to support our family and to support ourselves. We work to have something to give those who have need, Ephesians 4, 28. We work so that we can give something back to the Lord, 1 Corinthians 16, 1-3. But we're not working in order to become rich and wealthy. Edit that out. There are some people who let their playtime get in the way of studying and praying and teaching others the gospel. They're too busy watching TV and so forth. Or they let their friends get in the way. Or they let their families hinder their faithfulness to the Lord. Their loyalty is divided. They're loyal to their families and they're trying to be loyal to God. Edit it out. Jesus said regarding some of these things, he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Matthew 13, verse 38. The Apostle Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who died for me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live in service to Him. Galatians 2:20. We need to be like that. And have our loyalty solely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we need to edit out some of these things that would draw our eyes away from the Lord. And that would take our time away from the Lord. And that would take our service away from the Lord. Self-editing. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves. Maybe you need to edit your language. Maybe you need to edit your leisure time. And maybe you need to edit your loyalty. How about it? I know that I need to do some self-editing. Maybe you need to do some self-editing.
Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and I'd just like to ask you a question. Are you a child of God? Are you really a Christian? I mean the way the Bible says to become a Christian. The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. After we hear, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In John 8, 24, the Lord said, unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. After hearing and believing, we must be willing to repent of our sins, change our lives, decide to serve the Lord, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Now we're ready to confess our faith in Christ. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says that with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now we are prepared for baptism. The Lord said in Mark 16, 16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. In Acts 22, verse 16, Ananias said to Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Do you want your sins washed away? This verse tells us how it is done. After doing this, we are now a Christian, a child of God, and we are commanded to remain faithful to the Lord until we die in order to receive the crown of life. Revelation chapter 2, and verse 10. Again, thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.